Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio today with my partner, Lee Kimble. How are you doing, Lee?
I am well, thank you. I'm just sort of rocking to the music here.
The music's making you mellow. Very nice. Today, I thought we'd talk about the three faces of loneliness. What do you think about that?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Three faces, huh?
Three faces. Yeah.
All right.
We have number one is lonely for other people. Number two is lonely for divine connection. And number three is lonely for your true self.
Ah, okay.
So there's three ways you can be lonely. And you know, some of the people listening, some of you listening are going, I don't know if I'll listen today or not. It's a funny thing. It might not be for you that you're listening. Maybe you're outgoing and connected and hooked up with the God of your understanding and able to communicate with your true self, really do what's best for you. But there might be people around you that don't know how to get that connection. And that's what I thought we'd talk about today.
It's like so many things that we speak about, Beth, that it seems in this world that even if myself I'm not touched by something, I know somebody who is, you know, regardless of what it is. So many people are just having their own personal little challenges and struggles and opportunities to rise above.
Absolutely. That's like when I'm working with people that have alcoholism or drug addiction. It might not be the person I'm working with, might not be the addict or the alcoholic. It might be their family member or somebody that grew up in a household like that. And it's amazing how so many of us are affected by different things. And so many of us are affected by feeling loneliness. It's kind of a new thought. That's what I thought. That's why I thought we'd, you know, what causes loneliness? Obviously, isolation or separation from human interaction. I mean, that's, if you probably went to the, I can't say that I went to dictionary.com, but if I did, that's probably what it would say. Something like that, right?
Well, I'm kind of thinking you are dictionary.com.
Sometimes I can. You know, but we can be alone for long periods and not feel lonely. That can be solitude. There's a difference between loneliness and solitude. Solitude screams, I'm totally hooked up. And loneliness screams, I'm alone again. I'm apart. I'm separate.
Well, then you've gotten now back to my, not my two favorite, but what it seems to be is the two themes that we keep coming back up against is connection and separation, and loneliness being a disconnection.
Absolutely. You know, and some people think that loneliness means you're off by yourself. Maybe something, is that you ringing? Is that you dinging the bell?
That rings a bell.
Yeah, but maybe some people think that loneliness is about being like holed up in your condo, in your house, in your room, on a park bench, whatever it is, and there's nobody around you. And that's not necessarily true. Lonely people can be lonely in the midst of many other people. You can be sitting at Thanksgiving dinner and feeling totally isolated.
And as you mentioned before, you can be totally by yourself and hooked up.
Absolutely. And that's again, what I call solitude. You know, there's situational loneliness. Think of, I have someone close to me whose father is older and his friends are dying, you know, and where he used to have many peers, he just doesn't. The people he used to golf with or lunch with, they're not available anymore. And the group is smaller, and that makes him feel a little bit lonely. That's a situational lonely. Sometimes death can bring loneliness that's situational. Divorce, where friends don't know who to go with, so to speak, so they don't go with anybody, you know, and you can feel kind of lonely there. Or empty nest. My little Luke, you know, I think he's my little boy. He's 20. He's almost 21.
A.K.A. Lukey.
Yeah, and he's off on his own. And there's a little empty place in my house where Luke is no longer in the house. And I feel that little empty nest thing. That's a kind of loneliness. It's a form of loneliness. But that kind of loneliness is situational. Or think about when you were a kid, if you were the new kid in a school. That's situational. It's because of the situation you're in, and it's going to change. And then there's trait loneliness. And that's a different thing. That can come from your genetic background, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. There's a I was reading this man named John Cacciapo. He does research at the University of Chicago, the psychiatric part, you know, and he was talking about trait loneliness as something that follows you everywhere. It's like a way that you think you're automatically separated from others. I think it could start from something that happened early in your life. I recommend people to do some healing therapies, not just like NET, EMDR, those kind of therapies, not just talk therapy, but some of these other therapies that you can look into. NET is usually done by an acupuncture physician. EMDR is done by a specially trained psychologist. And there are ways that help you access stuff that's deep inside you that might have happened when you were really little.
So when you say trait, that would sort of, to me, speak of something that would more or less be generic or inherited, but you're saying that it could be more of the function of an experience.
Right. It can be from your environment, okay. And it can also be from your genetic code.
Okay.
You know, some people are...
predisposed.
Yeah, predisposed to this. Just like some people are predisposed to alcoholism, or some people are predisposed to cerebral palsy, or whatever it is. There's some things that happen, and loneliness is one of those issues.
So can the people that are predisposed to it be, for lack of, not to oversimplify it, be okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can get better. You can get better, but you have to treat it, just like anything else. Just like, I'll use the alcoholism again. You can be alcoholic because that's what your family background is. But if you treat your alcoholism, you can stop drinking and you can get better. But you have to continue to treat it, or you will drink again.
I think you just gave some hope to a whole bunch of drunks. I can do that.
Yeah. You know, there's the story in that little book I wrote, Plateful of Grateful, the wolf story. And it's about a wolf, the lone wolf, and how he goes out and cries at the moon and howls at the moon. And for many people, they see the lone wolf as this strong, like a symbol of strength and power. And actually, to the Native American culture, the lone wolf is a symbol of insanity. He's broken from his pack.
Going against his natural instincts.
And unfortunately, the Native Americans who revere wolves and would never hurt a wolf will kill a lone wolf, because that is the wolf that's going to attack their children. It's going to attack their herds.
It's likely to be unpredictable.
Not to eat. It's going to do this just because it's wired wrong.
Mm.
And that's kind of what trait loneliness is. It's just a wiring problem, but it can be helped. It can be helped. And there is hope for that. If you're suffering from that kind of loneliness, if I'm touching you, there's some ways to get help. And you could always contact us at BethWE.com. Just go onto our website and there's a contact us page and just say, you talked about trait loneliness. You mentioned NET and EMDR. Can you tell me more about them? And I'll be happy to email you back.
And if we don't have the answer, we will find it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, we have some wonderful people that support Beth Wee that have gone through some of these ideas that I'm bringing out to you. I'm not just throwing them out there untested. There's people that their lives have been changed because they were able to recognize this.
And we have some very qualified professionals in our ranks also.
Yes, if we have professionals right in our town as well, mm-hmm. You know, in Vero Beach. But I'll tell you what, if you're listening on iHeartRadio and you're in upstate New York, there's people there too. So you need to know what they practice and what we're talking about. Again, look it up online if you want. Look up NET, Neuro-Emotional Technique, or EMDR. And that's eye movement, desensitization, something, recovery or something like that. But those are two things that I've seen work with people. Okay. So those are the two kinds. But that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what loneliness is, how it affects us. You know, mentally and emotionally, it affects us. It affects us physically. It affects us spiritually. Loneliness is a hard one. It's a tough place to be. And if you're listening and you're thinking, man, maybe they're talking to me, please stay tuned today, because we're going to talk about what it's like to lose your true self or connection with your true self, what it's like to lose connection with other people, what it's like to lose connection with the divine. You know, and if you lose that and you're trying to get through life, it's drudgery. It can be really tough.
You know, it's fascinating, Beth. Just a brief little story that just came to mind. As many of our listeners know, last year I was away for a while. I was working up north, and one of our crews had a job in a cemetery, beautifying a plot for this woman who had lost her son. And off to the side was a little old man sitting on a bench, tidying up this little thing. And he had lost his wife of, I believe it was 60 years.
Wow.
The year before, and he came every day, and I went over and I sat down and I connected with him, and he was just, couldn't conceive of why he just kept carrying on, you know, because without her,
his life didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense, and you know, and we spent a few minutes together, and when I walked away, I would like to have thought that, you know, he had found a little bit of connection.
Right.
And encouragement.
Right, and what he could teach so many others after that relationship.
And which would be an opportunity for connection and escape from the loneliness, but you have to be willing to look. You have to be able, as with everything else, seek.
Right, so that's the deal. So today we're going to talk about loneliness. You know, sometimes the loneliest people, according to research, are the teens and the elderly. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to tell you, it's changing these days. There's middle-aged people finding loneliness and not knowing what to do with it. And loneliness is a stumper. You know, it can stump you. Don't feel afraid. Don't feel intimidated. We're here for you, and we're going to talk about it today.
And if you're struggling with it, you're not alone.
That's right. Stay tuned, because we're going to be talking with you, with each other. We're going to help you find it. If you want to look up that website, it's www.bethwee.com. Connect with us. Tell us you need more information. Feel free. We're always here for you. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break.
Thanks for listening to the Beth Wee Radio Hour. Don't forget to check in at www.bethwee.com for more insights and information on how to connect in this big, crazy world. www.bethwee.com gives you dates of upcoming seminars, video teachings for those seeking recovery, tools for finding peace of mind, and Beth's blog, Thoughts to Challenge Your Complacent Thinking. Next time you're online, check out www.bethwee.com. Look for us on Facebook as well. We want you to live your priorities.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio with Lee Kimball, and we're talking today about loneliness. And you know what? We have our little music going. We have our new producer with us, Shane. How are you doing, Shane? Doing good?
Yeah, doing good.
Good.
Little nervous for first day jitters,
yeah,
but
we're doing good.
Getting there.
Good. And that's what we're talking about. We play this beautiful music in the background to kind of get you into the mood. We want to talk about what's affecting you and what is affecting you with loneliness. You know, sometimes negative automatic thinking accompanies loneliness. And with it comes some assumptions that can really change the way that you deal with others. You know, it's hard for people that are lonely to trust other people, or they feel like if they put themselves out there, they may be rejected by other people. And it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Have you ever seen that happen?
I have, and I've also seen, we've spoken about, you know, the survivors,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't need anybody.
Right.
You know, and there, what a slice of loneliness comes with that.
Yeah. survivor, you know, sir meaning above and beyond, and vivor, the vive is the live. So it's above and beyond life. It's you're not in the life. You're not in your own life if you're surviving.
You're not connected.
You're not connected. You're kind of going around the thing, and maybe you're seeing pieces of it, but you're not fully in. If you're identifying with this, we're talking to you today. And we want you to find a place where you can connect, a place where you can really get connected with others, with your true self, with your higher power, and become all that God had in mind for you to be when you were created. You know, loneliness and depression are two distinct mental health issues. But what's weirdly is commonly lonely people are depressed, and depressed people are lonely. And yet they're treated in two different ways. So that's important for you to hear me. If you think that this loneliness is just loneliness and it's just you made a bad choice or you're making bad, you know, maybe you do have an illness. Maybe you need to be treated for depression. There's nothing wrong with having to go to a doctor and say, I don't feel right. Can you check me out? Can you find out if I need help? And depression is something that can be treated these days. And so many people get help from the medical community with depression.
And our experience has been with people we've seen go through that. It is not necessarily a life sentence of therapy or treatment. You know, frequently, I mean, I know you had an experience with somebody that in your world that, you know, you go in, you address it, you confront it, you deal with it, and you can move past it.
Yeah. And you can move past it. And these are things that kind of get confused. So I just kind of want to throw out some of these thoughts. You know, maybe you think the lonely people are like some kind of stereotype. Maybe you think they're shy, withdrawn. You know, maybe they lack confidence or something like that. Maybe that's who you think lonely people are. And that's not really true, because outgoing people may be good at establishing relationship, but they don't maintain a relationship. They never share their real self. Some of the outgoing people that you would think, they're lonely? I can't believe it. But it's because they're not sharing their true self with anyone. They're playing a role. It's almost like they're an actor on a stage, only it's their life. And they're missing out. It's if you're emotionally unavailable, it doesn't matter if you're shy or outgoing. If you're emotionally unavailable, you're not connecting with other people. And that's what that can cause loneliness. I think that music is really important. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know why, but it's on my mind.
Okay.
Music. You know, what kind of music do you listen to? Music really affects the way people feel. If you're struggling with loneliness and you're playing, you know, Only the Lonely, you know, or even like Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven, or any of the sad music, you know, almost any, you country music lovers, you know which ones I'm talking about, where, you know, you just listen to it and you're almost crying.
It's funny, I went with Barbara Streisand, people who need people.
Yeah, but there's, you know, there's happier music. Pay attention to what's going on around you.
Don't feed the issue.
Yeah, don't feed it. Don't make it worse by what you're listening to. If you're not moving, move. I'm not saying you have to, you know, go to the gym. You know, walk around your neighborhood. Walk down the street and back.
Move just, a muscle, change of thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Just move. And if you can, do something. If you're walking down the street, say hello to a neighbor. I mean, a little interaction wouldn't hurt, you know, with what you're trying to do. But, you know, loneliness is tough, and it can affect your health. It affects blood pressure. It affects your immune system. So it's nothing to play with. And let's talk about the three faces that I called the three faces of loneliness. And I think the first one we should talk about is lonely for others. What do you think?
Okay.
Because I think that's the one that most people I can identify with. You know, when you're lonely for others, it's a hard place to live, because we were created like the wolf. We were created to be in community. That is how we are.
Social beings.
We are social beings. We are created to live with other human beings. It's it any science class you'll ever take, I don't care if you're doing biology or sociology, you know, they're going to tell you that. They're going to teach you that human beings were made to be in relationship with other people.
Now, mankind is very diverse, too. So at this, at the same time, not everybody is going to be the life of the party, and not everybody's going to be the wallflower, but there's a balance.
Yeah, there is a balance. And it takes all kinds to make the world work. It's funny, I was with my Mana sisters the other day.
My Mana sisters,
my two women that I meet with weekly. We meet weekly, and we have just a time where we share where we are. We talk about how we're growing spiritually. We talk about how we're doing emotionally and physically.
You connect.
We do. And we try to encourage each other. We have nothing else in common except that we're the Mana sisters. We came together because we had a common desire at the beginning, but it's so grown from there. That desire, sometimes we're like, why did we start meeting? You know, we kind of forget that. And now we just meet because it helps us stay true to who we are. And, you know, the need or the desire to have people in our lives that get us, really, really important. You know, who gets you? If you're listening to us today, who do you go to when you need to be heard? Who do you go to? Do you have a network? Do you have a group of people that you can call on and say, I just feel low today and I just need somebody to know? And
I'll take it even down further, Beth. Do you have at least one person?
At least one person that you can tell the truth to. And that's really important because the need and desire for people that get us, it's very common, and it's what all of us have. The physical part is important for loneliness. Touch, you know, babies when they're born, if they don't have parents, you know, it's important that they're touched in that first 6 months of life.
Well, they had those studies.
Yeah, absolutely. And adults that aren't being touched. Maybe you're an adult that doesn't have a romantic relationship right now in your life, and you're not being touched. You need to know that, and you need to be touched.
You know, you're making me smile inside because after a lifetime of being in different relationships, I'm speaking of romantic relationships, my darling Diane, who so many of you hear me speak of frequently, likes to hold hands.
Yeah.
And I have always wanted to be a hold hander. And I never seemed to be in relationship with other girls that wanted to hold hands.
And it's
so nice.
It's a simple thing, but it's really important. And, you know, technology has removed a lot of touch, you know, but it's still possible. If, you know, it's still possible to be connected with other people. Like when I talk about it's removed a lot of touch, let's talk about the bank teller. How many of you are actually going into a bank teller? Are you going through the drive-up? Or are you going through the automatic teller? You know, you're a tube is coming in and out to you, and maybe a person on the screen says, hello, good to see you. You know, but I mean...
That's not connection.
It's not the same. So, you know, the store clerk, you know, you can check yourself out at some of the stores now. You don't even have a clerk to deal with on the way out of the store. You know, that's not connection. So the world is moving that way. So it's going to be important for you to fight for your own connection. And it's funny, the ultimate torture is solitary confinement. If you're bad in prison, they put you in solitary. What does that mean?
Because it goes directly against one of our most basic instincts.
And it might break you down a little bit and make you think, okay, I don't want to do this again. So I better not do that again. And that's what their hope is. But these are the faces of loneliness. This is lonely for others. You know, we can be lonely for divine connection because we have a desire and a need to belong to the universal plan as well. There is a spiritual part of all of us. And, you know, when we're connected there, we're able to see, do, and feel what we couldn't on our own. So that's important. And of course, lonely for your true self? Do you think you're enough? If you can't say yes to that real quickly, I'm talking to you. We're going to talk about this stuff when we come back. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back with the 5 on 5. Stay tuned, listen to the news, and hang with us. We'll be right back.